Genesis 1:1. Hallelujah. And Genesis 1:1, is everybody there? Oh. Everyone read the first verse with me. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay. In the beginning. In other words, understand this. God is eternal, means past, present, and future. He is not bound by any time whatsoever. If you could take the whole universe and put all, do you know that the universe expands at the speed of sound, like light, whew, like the speed of light or whatever. It's expanding. Now, if you were to take the universe and its expansion, God looks at that universe like this cap to a bottle. This is the universe to him. See, you and I can't comprehend. We got peanut brains. Hello? But we have the mind of Christ that allows us to get to a limit. But if we were to go beyond the limit, we'd blow right up. Because you can't contain the things that God has. Me holding this little water bottle cap in my hand is like the universe to God Almighty. So that means you and I are like a speck of dust. Hello. And he loves these little specks of dust, doesn't he? But the Bible says that God created in the beginning. So he created time. He took a chunk out of eternity and said, I'm going to create something. The first thing he had to do is make a placement. So he made the placement by time. So I'm going to make time. Now, God's not bound by space and time. Amen? So he created time. That was the first thing that he created. Then it says, and he created the what? Heavens. That means all the spiritual hosts, all the heavenly beings, the heavenly creatures, all the angels. He established all the heavenly arena. And he also established the heavens a place. Then it says he created the earth, meaning matter. Is everybody with me? Now, in this we know that there are three heavens. Because the Bible says that Paul was taken up to the third heaven and that the words that he saw couldn't be explained. They were just overwhelming to him. He said, I don't know whether I was a man in the body or out of the body, but I know I ended up in the third heaven, and what I heard was unspeakable. So if you want to believe that there is life on another planet, there is. It's called the third heaven, and it's where God dwells. If you've ever heard anybody being taken to heaven, they were taken in like a suction. And they ended up in the place called paradise, which is the third heaven. That's where you and I belong. It's another planet all by itself where God dwells. Are you with me? See, because when God created, in the beginning, he created time. And then he created the heavens, and he put a place where he made for his own self. See, are we okay? Let me see if I'm okay. Man, when the Holy Ghost starts sharing some of these things, it's like, you know, I got to try and catch up. Hold on a sec. You know. But what happens is we look at God as God the Father, don't we? See, we never saw him any other than God the Father. But prior to becoming God the Father, hello, he was eternal. Is everybody with me? So he set this whole thing up. The whole universe, time, the heavens, space, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He set this all up for me and you. Just for these specks of dust in this room. Is that wild or what? Now he set the heavenly hosts, all the angels, to sustain the universe. Now the angels were not made in God's image and likeness. Hello? Even though that they were called sons of God. But there are attributes that are different than yours and mine. Are you with me? Now, so we see here now that if your scales were to come off right now, if the natural realm was to just fall before you like a curtain, you go, whoa! You'd see angels and demons and all kinds of stuff going around fighting over your soul right now. See, when you just got done worshiping, you just got done walking around, your carnal mind goes, well, this don't mean nothing. I don't understand why we're walking around this room like idiots. It's because you're getting undignified, bonehead. Well, I just don't get it. Well, they said that when they walked around the walls of Jericho, didn't they? And they fell. Every man, and the Lord said, don't you dare talk when you're walking. Why? Because he didn't want anybody to plant corruptible seed. That's all it needed was one person to say, man, this is crazy. It would have gone boom, 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 like domino effect. They're all booked and the walls will never come down. See, the carnal mind looks at these things as foolish. So when you're hearing the voice of a stranger say, man, I ain't going out there and walking. Somebody might see me. Man, something might happen to you. You might get delivered. Hello? So when we're out here walking like fools, hallelujah, but we're fools for Jesus now, right? Amen, man. I'm telling you, you're walking around. God is moving on your behalf. He is dispatching angels on your behalf that you don't even know. But if you could see it, whoa! You'd run like crazy around this place. You wouldn't stop running. You'd say, Pastor, keep the music going. I'll stay here all night. You wouldn't care about even going to work tomorrow if you saw what was going on the other side. You'd never sit down again. You'd be running, let's go to church. Well, it's happening. See, but the devil don't want you to get this. He doesn't want your eyes to really see in the spirit. He wants to keep you caught up in the natural realm. Oh, well, you know, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for the glass of water today. Oh, such zealousness. Such gratitude. Oh, the flesh is still running your life. Man, we don't want the flesh to run our life. We want the spirit to run our life. Amen? People are still thinking about, oh, man, all the things I did today, the things I got to do tomorrow. Man, you need to just stick a rag in the carnal mind's mouth and just get out there and do it. I mean, there are people that walk around, well, you know, look at what's his name walking around. Look at him, what an idiot. Look at him carrying that flag and waving it. Wow. I don't understand why he gets so blessed. I don't understand why he's got favor of God in his life. Maybe because he's acting like an idiot waving that flag. Hello? You know why? Because something's happening on the other side you ain't seeing. Glory. Oh, to God be the glory. It's getting hot in here. In the beginning, God created the heavens and every spiritual host to support the universe. Are you with me? And then the matter. Glory. Go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. Oh, we're going somewhere. I don't know where, but we're going. We're getting in the boat tonight. Glory to the Lamb. We're going to the other side. I'm going to walk on the water with you. Praise God. We bless you, Master. Hebrews 1. 1. Is everybody there? You need a page number? Pick one. Hallelujah. In verse 1, would you read it with me? God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers of the prophets, by the prophets, and has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. The what? Oh, I wonder what worlds he's talking about. Hello, maybe his own pad? Amen? Daddy's got his own crib, man, I'm telling you. And it's awesome. It's called Paradise Inn. In verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, by the word of his power. Ooh. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat at the right hand of the majesty on high. Having become so much better than the what? Angels. As he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son? Today I have begotten you. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. He's talking about Jesus, isn't he? But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels what? Spirits. And his ministers are what? Flame of fire. So the angels are spirits, aren't they? But they're spirits with bodies. Amen. A demon is a disembodied spirit. An angel is a spirit with a body. They're heavenly hosts, aren't they? Amen. And they're, God's granted them power. Power. And it says here that they are not only angels that are spirits, but they are ministering. They are ministers of the flames of fire. Remember the angel that had that what sword of fire that protected the tree of life, right? Oh, hallelujah. Let's go on. But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God. See, he calls Jesus God, doesn't he? He said, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Oh, hallelujah. He has anointed him with oil more than his what? Companions. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. And they will all grow old like a garment. Like a cloak you will fold them up and they will be changed. But you are the same and your years will not fail. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Read this with me, 14. You too, you can read it. You got a Bible? You got one? You sharing it? Okay. Come on, everybody read this with me. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? So I want you to understand that angels are ministering spirits for those who are inheriting eternal life. So that means God created these, what? Angels to not only maintain and upkeep the universe, but they minister to the children of God. Are you with me? To who? The children of God. Wow. So you have angels that are willing and able and desiring to minister to you. Hello? Oh, hallelujah. Angels, ministering spirits, minister of flame and fire, heavenly assistance to the children of God. They are assisting you. Is everybody with me? There are angels that are prepared specifically for you. Now, they come as not only a flame of fire, but they come as wind, they come as a cloud, they come in many ways. I remember one time when we were working and we were re-roofing the house, and man, it was cooking out there. I mean, there was no breeze, there was nothing. I was about to die. I said, Lord, you got to help me. I said, Lord, you said that you would send your ministering angels. And I need some ministering right now. And about 10 seconds, this wind came and just whirled around me and began to cool me off. And I just started thanking the Lord, man. I would just start, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. And I knew that the angels had come to minister to me because they were cooling me off. You can read through the whole Bible on how the angels of the Lord minister to God's children. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Now, we're not to worship these angels. Amen. But I believe that we're to assist them as they're assisting us also. Because they're working on behalf of the will of God in your life. All over the place. You have no idea. One time I was driving, and we were coming to a four-way stop sign, and it was dark, and it was like in back roads. And when I came to the stop sign, I put my foot in the clutch. I mean, it was dark out. There was nothing around. It was about 10, 11 o'clock at night. I don't know. And I could not move. It was like somebody hit their hand on me. And I was about to say to my wife, man, why can't I get my foot off this clutch? And once I said that, a car ran the stop sign about 40 or 50 miles an hour on my left. And went, and I said, thank you, Lord. Now I knew why I could not move. You know what happened? That angel put his hand on me and did not let me move. Are you with me? I can tell you testimonies that would blow your mind. When I had visitation from an angel when I was out in the park, and that angel knew every one of my thoughts, everything. And I was crying out in the park saying, Lord, and I was crying to him. And this gentleman pulled up. In fact, the Bible tells us that we entertain angels. You don't even know who you're sitting next to sometimes. Hello? There are people that somebody could be walking down a street and you may think he's a homeless person, and the Holy Ghost will say, why don't you buy that person dinner? Come to find out that person's eating dinner and all of a sudden disappears in front of your eyes. See, God tests his children too that way. You don't know which one of those who got a sign out there saying, hey, need help. But you better be in the spirit. Because the devil loves to do that too. Are you with me? Oh, hallelujah. I remember one time I was in this place and it was demonic. And they were chanting and all kinds of stuff. And I went out and I left the room and I went out into the hallway and I got on my knees and I began to pray in the Holy Ghost. And the next thing I knew, an angel showed up. And I saw him in the spirit, and he put his hand on my shoulder, and he was huge, and he lifted up his hand and began to worship the Lord with me. And I can only sense him and see him in the spirit. And we were up in this place, and I said to my wife, you know, I don't know why, but it's about 89 degrees out. I said, this is strange, but I'd like to see some snow. I woke up the next morning, and there was a foot of it. Snowflakes as big as snowballs. We took pictures of it because she freaked out. That's when the Lord was restoring me and Kate. She was still poking me, calling me an alien. What's the matter with you, man? You're strange. I like what happened to you, but it's strange because my carnal mind can't get it. But there's something different with you. I really love what happened to you, but man, I just don't get it. Whatever happened to you, I want. It's weird, but I want it. That's when the Lord begins to take you in dreams and visions of fulfilling his word that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and my sons and daughters will prophesy. They'll have dreams and visions. That's happening. Taken to the library of God a few times. Hallelujah. Go to Psalm 104. Angels are there to minister to the saints. Their purpose is that it's heavenly assistance for the saints of God. And they're also there to expand the ministry of Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 104. Glory to God. Is this working, weighty? Yeah. Hallelujah. Psalm 104. Glory to the Lamb. Is everybody all right? In verse something, verse 1. Just start with me. Bless the Lord, all my soul. O my Lord God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. You cover yourself with light as with a garment, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. He lays the beams of his upper chambers in the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot, who walks on the wings of the wind, who makes his angels spirits, his ministers a what? Flame of fire. That's powerful. He makes his ministers a what? Flame of fire. You who laid the foundations of the earth so that it should not be moved forever. You covered it with the deep as with the garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke they fled. At the voice of your thunder they hastened away. They went up over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place which you founded for them. You have set a boundary that they may not pass over, that they may not return to cover the earth. Now, who do you think keeps that boundary? The angels. Are you with me? The angels keep the boundary. The angels make sure everything in rotation. They make sure that when a star burns out, it's supposed to burn out at a specific time. The whole universe is kept and maintained by the word of God, because we live and have our being in God. That's how big he is. And in this, he created angels on the benefit of his creation. You and I are the inheritance of Jesus. And because we are the inheritance of Jesus, you and I also have an inheritance. Are you with me? Oh, hallelujah. Turn to Mark 1, verse 12. Mark 1, verse 12. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. Wow. The angels did what? Ministered to him. Hello? So if the angels ministered to Jesus, are they there to minister to you? You betcha. You betcha. Go to Psalm 91. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 91. Y'all don't know this by now. In verse 11, and he says what? For he shall give his angels charge over you. He shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all of your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. In other words, they are there to pick you up. There was, I've heard many testimonies where an individual was in a group ministering, and somebody came in to kill the person. And the person pulled out a knife and was going after this person, and an invisible wall showed up. And this person kept, and was fighting and fighting and fighting, could not penetrate this wall that he couldn't even see. It was an angel of the Lord. See, the Bible says that the angel of the Lord encamps around those who reverence God. Now, an angel of the Lord is very powerful. There are ministering spirits, angels, and there are warring angels. There are messengers also. There are all types of angels. There are billions of them. Billions. And are there to minister on behalf of the saints of God. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Revelation 1. You see, you have no idea the war that went on in your life to get you where you are today. or you would be dead, burning in hell. Because you didn't know how to fight spiritually at all. But the angels of the Lord were fighting on your behalf, not because of your prayers, but because of somebody else's. I've shared this testimony before. There was a gentleman that was flying a helicopter. He was a pilot. He was a backslidden believer. Broke covenant with God, decided to go out and do his own will. And the plane began to malfunction and started to crash. It started going down. And he said, "Oh, God, help me. Man, you know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for everything I've done. I know I'm backslidden." Of course, you know, everybody prays on their way down to death. Everybody prays when they're getting in trouble. The handcuffs come on. "Oh, God, help me." Overdosing. "Oh, God, I'll never do it again." Been there. So he called on the Lord and the plane crashed. And the plane was burning. And they heard the mayday and the fire department went out there. And on their way out there, this guy told a testimony after he was in the hospital. Now, when they pulled this guy out of the plane, he did not smell of smoke, nothing. I think he had a broken thumb or a collarbone or something goofy. And he was in the hospital, but the two firemen that tried to rescue him ended up in the hospital also because something happened with the plane and flames came out in the helicopter. And he began to give testimony of what happened. And he said, when the helicopter was on fire and he was strapped in and couldn't get out because they had to go in and unstrap him and get him out. He said he saw an angel of the Lord standing next to him, blowing, keeping the flames and the smoke away from him. And then behind him in a distance, he saw the Lord standing there. And when he came to in the hospital and he found out about the two firemen that got smoke inhalation or something, I don't know, because something blew up or whatever. And he said, "Lord, I don't understand. Why did you rescue me?" And he said, "Because of the prayers of the saints." See, your prayers move the angels of God. And I'm going to show you that. See, not only there are ministering angels, but there are warring angels. There are angels that carry messages. And again, I want you to know that there are billions of them. Billions. Are you with me? In Revelation chapter 1, are you there? And verse 1, we'll start there and do a few verses here. Oh, hallelujah. "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by" what? "His angel to his servant John." Now I want you to understand that this was the angel of revelation. So what did he bring? Revelation. Do you know when you get revelation, you know who brings it? An angel. He's called a spirit of revelation or an angel of revelation. Why? Because they are ministering spirits, aren't they? Are you with me? Oh, hallelujah. Okay. "Who bore witness of the word to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, a faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever." An angel is placed over every church. There is a specific angel that is placed over a church. There is a specific angel that is placed over this fellowship. He establishes. There are principalities on our behalf, not only protecting us, but working on our behalf. If you were to look around, you'd see that there's angels following you all the time. One night I was taking my dog for a walk, and my dog had died on me twice, and I laid hands on her. And I was waiting for my wife to be returned because we were divorced. And I said, "Lord, please keep the dog alive until my wife returned," because it was her dog too at that time. But we were divorced for 3 years, and this was my little demon fighter, but she was an 80-pound Doberman dog. And she'd stand out for me and watch for me all the time. And one night her and I were walking, and all of a sudden in the spirit, I saw these angels. I didn't understand it with my imagination. I just saw things in the spirit. But when these things used to happen, that happened to me when I cast out this serpent out of a log, like, or a staff. And I thought that was my imagination at that time. But then it wasn't, because it manifested in the natural. So I didn't take no chances. And they were, like, looking at me. And there was, I would say, probably seven or eight of them. I didn't count them. And we were walking, and when it was time to go in my house, I remember going, "This is not fair to them," because they could walk through the wall, and I had to open the door. I said, "Man, this ain't fair." But it was like, "You'll get your turn." But I realized then, I said, "Man, this is wild. This is wild." See, one of the things the Lord wants us to do, and that's why you need to hand over your imagination to God and keep it clean, because your imagination is known as image. That's the area where you see in the other side. So it must be cleaned of ungodly imaginations and ungodly debris. It must be cleaned and washed by the blood, because there are things that you will see on the other side. It's the window to the other side. Oh, hallelujah. So we see here that the angel is over every church, every body. There were seven spirits in front of the throne room, wasn't there? Amen? And then it said that there was, let's go to Revelation 3. In verse 1. Revelation 3, verse 1. Are you there? "And to the angel of the church of Sardis..." To the angel of the church of Sardis. Now, this letter was going to who? It was going to the church of Sardis, wasn't it? But who was bringing the message? The angel. Are you with me? "These things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars." Now, the seven stars represent the seven angels. Now, remember, these letters were going out to seven churches at that period of time. He said, "I know your works, that you have a name that you are alive, but you're dead." You may have a reputation that you're alive, but you're deader than a doornail. "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before me. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life." See, your name gets blotted out the day you die. It's either in or out. See, your name is written in the book of life when you are conceived. The day you die determines whether it stays in or it's removed. So who you serve when you die is where you go. Are you with me? Hallelujah. "But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Now, I truly believe that the Holy Spirit, because we live and have our being in God, the Holy Spirit is the main overseer. Nothing is done without the Holy Spirit. Even the Lord said, "It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit." The Holy Spirit does everything first. Then after that, bam, things begin to happen. Are you with me? So even with this, I really believe that it's the Holy Spirit, because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will speak on my behalf. So I believe that the Spirit of God and these angels, God speaks or gives the messages by His Spirit through these angels that go around. Are you with me? Hallelujah. So we see that there were seven spirits before the throne room of God and seven stars. Now, angels are also known as messengers. Amen? The Holy Spirit was saying to the churches through His angels. Are you with me? Okay. Now, the seven spirits that are before God is a representation of fullness of the character of Christ. And we'll go there again here. Go to Revelation 5. Hallelujah. Praise God. Revelation 5. Is everybody all right? And verse 6 and 7. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, and which are the seven spirits of God sent out into the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now listen, the seven horns, the number seven means complete and perfect. That's the number seven of God. It means complete and perfect. Number eight means new beginnings. That's why God rested on the seventh day. Is everybody with me? Okay. Why? Because it was complete and perfect. Now, horns is a representation of complete and perfect power. When you see the word horn, it's always a representation of power. And Jesus, who was slain, had seven horns in a representation that he was complete and perfect in power. Seven eyes, complete and perfect in knowledge and insight. Perfect. And the seven spirits that were sent to the earth are in Isaiah 11. Would you go there? And these seven spirits that were sent to the earth were allowing the saints to become complete and perfect in Christ. Hallelujah. Isaiah 11. Now, these are ministering spirits, aren't they? They're angels. Oh, hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 11. Praise be to God. Is everybody there? In verse 2, would you read it with me? These are the seven spirits that were before the throne of God and sent to the earth. The Spirit of the Lord shall what? Rest upon me. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. These are spirits associated with angels. If you read in Proverbs 2 and 3, you'll say that he says, cry out to her wisdom. She will guide you. Amen. What's he talking about? He's talking about a ministering spirit. Well, who's going to bring you the strength? A ministering spirit. Who's going to bring you wisdom and knowledge and understanding? A ministering spirit. Are you with me? Now, these are representations of the character of Christ associated with the Holy Spirit. Because why? He's allowing me and you to be complete and perfect in Him. With what? Wisdom. Knowledge, understanding, strength, counsel. Who do you think brings you counsel? But remember something, we live and have our being in God, the Holy Spirit. But everything is expressed, even through the angels and ministering spirits, by the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Oh, hallelujah. Are you sure you're with me? Go to Matthew 26. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Matthew 26. And verse, let's see here. Now Jesus was in the garden. And verse 47. And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude, with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one, seize him. Immediately he went up to Jesus and kissed, and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? Then they came and they laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly one of those who was with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. We know that was Peter. He said, man, you ain't getting my daddy. So he pulled out a sword, cut off the dude's ear, and the ear fell to the ground. Now you got to understand something. Jesus is going, come on, Pete, put that back in there. Picked up the dude's ear, slapped it back on his head and said, let's go. Amen. Put that sword back in there, Peter. Come on, it's in no time. And Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Then he says something very powerful. He says, or do you not think that I cannot pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? Now, a legion of angel is between 2 and 3,000. That meant a legion for each disciple that was there. Do you understand that? So you automatically get a legion of angels from between 2 to 3,000 angels, ministering spirits that are working on your behalf. Once you become a believer. Now, I'm not saying that they're not angels. Hello? Because people are praying for you, and there are people praying in tongues that you don't even know are praying for you, either do they, that angels are being dispatched. But once you become a believer, these angels, God's work sends them to you and on your behalf. From 2 to 3,000 minimum. Amen? See, so these angels are all going around ministering, wooing someone to get in place, to meet you at a certain place and so forth. Are you with me? Trying to get you to get to a place. Man, I knew they were around me when I was lost. I used to call them mole watchers. Man, I knew they were there. They tried to rescue me a few times, and I knew it because people were praying for me. I remember one time, one got between me and somebody. Many times I've seen, not seen him, but sensed their presence and go, man. Because somebody was praying for us. So we see that legions of angels are available for us, aren't they? Go to 2 Kings 19. 2 Kings 19. Oh, hallelujah. And these are ministering spirits working on your behalf. Praise be to God. 2 Kings 19. Now, an angel moves quite quickly. They can cruise around the earth about 3 times in 1 second. So according to me and you, we're going, hello? See, they can kick butt on your behalf before you can even blink an eye. They've just went around the earth 3 times. 3 times. One second. Because they're not bound by space or time, are they? Do you ever see over the hedge? Anybody see over the hedge? You know when that dude takes that caffeine? And everything goes in slow motion. Everybody stop. And he's buzzing around real fast. If you haven't seen it, get it. You'll get what I'm saying. Or Matrix. Have you seen Matrix? Same way. Everybody's real still, right? And the person's going, wow, this is cool, man. I can, all right, you know, go here and go there. And everybody's still standing there like, oh. That's what, how angels work on our behalf. And 2 Kings in chapter 19 and verse 32. I think. I hope. Oh, 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 32. We'll try it. Therefore, thus says the Lord God concerning the king of Assyria. He shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor build a siege mound against it. By the way that he came, by the same way shall he return. And he shall not come into this city, says the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Now watch what he does. And it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000 soldiers. And when the people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses all dead. Now, here, the Lord was dispatching one angel to protect David. One angel will kill 185,000 humans. So what are you worried about, man? You got a legion of angels on your side. The whole thing is to stay in position. See, but your prayers is what moves them. Are you with me? But if you're out of God's position, they're not working on our behalf. They're waiting. Come on, get right with God so we can move on your behalf. Somebody's praying for you. Come on. They're trying to get you into that place. Come on. There's certain things that are protecting you from dying. They're preventing you from dying because somebody's interceding for you until you get in position. And then things get restored. How do you think families get restored? It's not magical. How do you think your children get saved out there? Who do you think brought you here? For some of us, I'm telling you what. I know the angels that were following me, they had to wear sneakers. Those guys are probably still resting. I mean, I was trouble out there, man. Praise God. Psalm 23. Uh-oh, here he comes. Quick, get your sneakers. Take the sandals off. Get your sandals. Yeah, Air Jordans. Get those on, yeah. They were glad when I got saved, man. Whew. They've been partying ever since. Thanking God they didn't have to go after me anymore. Psalm 23, verse 6. It says, surely what? Goodness and mercy shall follow me. I wonder who goodness and mercy is. Ministering spirit. Everybody got it? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, man, who's following you? Goodness and mercy, what is it? The angel of goodness and angel of mercy. Hello? Those are ministering spirits. Everything associated with word is associated with spirit. Hello? So when you say, I remember this, one of my neighbors one time, she went out and bought a dog, and Kate and I were just recently saved. And a woman named a dog Trouble. And her and Kate and I looked at each other and go, oh, God. And this dog was Trouble. I mean, this thing got into everything. Finally, she ended up getting rid of it. Of course, with a name like Trouble, I mean, it's like naming your dog Stupid. Hey, Stupid! The dog would walk backwards, you know. Go fetch the ball. Huh? Well, no wonder why you named it Stupid. You just introduced him to the spirit of stupid. Hello. That's how people get things on them, right? Then what did I say? I said, man, I can't believe how dumb I am. Hello. You go to those 12-step meetings, right? Hi, my name is such and such, and I'm an addict. Come on. Well, you spoke it in. You just invited the spirit of addiction, didn't you? Now, you may be clean, but you ain't free. There's a difference. Why? Because your fight is spiritual, not physical. It's spiritual. Even though it's called a spiritual program, but it's not bringing you to the depths where we need to be for freedom to manifest. That's why there's cross addiction. Amen? Because there's the spirit that's associated with addictions, and all addictions, it's strong, man. It's called a spirit of bondage. So if he can stop you using dope, hello, he'll have you smoke cigarettes. Even get you, prevent you from smoking cigarettes, he'll kick you in the back and get you on pain pills. Why? Because he's got to get fed. That's a spirit of bondage. So you stop using crack cocaine. You have an occasional drink. You understand? Or the person no longer drinks, smokes, does dope, but he works 26 hours a day. I got to stay busy. If I'm not busy, I'm going to fall. Well, that's bondage. Then you're still feeding the spirit of addiction, aren't you? You're a workaholic. You're not free. Come on, are you with me? Pornography is an addiction. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Is everybody okay? Genesis 16. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Are y'all all right? Praise God. Genesis 16. And verse 7, somewhere around there. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water, and this is Hagar, in the wilderness by the spring on the way of Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, remember Sarah and Abraham, this was Sarah's maid servant, and Sarah told Hagar to sleep with her husband so that she can have a child because she couldn't provide one. She got an anxious mind because God promised her to have a child, right? So she moved ahead of God and said, listen, man, honey, God said we're going to have a child. It ain't come yet, so sleep with the maid. He sleeps with the maidservant. She gets pregnant. They have a child. But it was not the seed of righteousness. See, because people try to move, force the hand of God. When you move before God, you always produce an Ishmael. That's why you must wait on God to produce the Isaac. Are you with me? Which is the righteous seed. Every time you move out of God's will, you move ahead of God, you produce the unrighteous seed. And then people wonder why they have trouble. I don't get it. God told me. Well, did he tell you when? Well, I don't know when. Well, then you wait. I can't wait. I got an anxious mind. You kidding? If I don't get it now, I got to hurry up and have it. Okay, I'll wait, but just hurry up then, right? Praise God. Hallelujah. And where are we? And he said to Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? She said, I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress, Sarah. And the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. How many of y'all have ever heard that to you? Return and submit. Well, you know who appeared to you? You just didn't see him. Return and submit. See, he didn't say the last part because you didn't hear that. Bonehead. You didn't hear that part, though. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly so that they shall not be counted for a multitude. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are with child. So he knew, didn't he? You shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man. Why? Because he was birthed out of anxiety. And he shall be a what? Wild man. Don't you know wild people are anxious? Hello? His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all of his brothers. It didn't say about dwelling in the presence of God. Are you with me? The angel searches you out, counsels you, and also is instrumental in giving you a name. Are you with me? Praise God. Genesis 24. They are ministering spirits, aren't they? In verse 7. Are you ready? The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your descendants I give this land. He will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. In other words, the angel of the Lord, the ministering spirit, is going to go out and get your spouse. But if you go out and get your spouse, you will produce an Ishmael. Are you with me? Everybody's going, oh God, what did I do? Hello. The angel of the Lord will go out and get your spouse. So what are you worried about? Come on, you got a legion of angels out there going out and getting you a spouse. Praise God. There's got to be somebody out there for you. But it's got to be in God's timing, doesn't it? Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Go to Revelation 12. Oh, hallelujah. The thing is, can you wait? Can you wait on God to bring that to pass? Or you will produce an Ishmael, a wild marriage. And I don't mean good wild. Hi, honey. Where you been? And I went to go get milk. Don't lie to me. Man, you'll have a jealousy. You'll have all kinds of stuff going on in there. What'd you say? I'm telling you, volcano will come out of the phone. It'll be nothing but torment. Wild marriage. Yeah, we have a great marriage. Hallelujah. What happened to your eye? Oh, we were just wrestling last night. We had date night. Uh-oh. Date night. Black eye every date night. Praise God. It's a wild marriage, huh? Revelation chapter 12. Oh, hallelujah. And verse 7. Some of us realize now, man, why did I? Now I know why that relationship was nuts. Hallelujah. In verse 7, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So we know that Archangel Michael is one of the leaders. He's the prince chief of the warring angels on your behalf. Amen? That's why the Bible says, before you enter and plunder a strong man's house, first bind the strong man. That's why the Bible says, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What are you doing? You're asking God to dispatch your angels. Before I go anywhere, I say, Lord, I ask you to dispatch your angels ahead of me as I bind the strong men, that it may enter and plunder the goods of the evil one. Your warring angels and your ministering angels. And when we do services, I ask the Lord to send the ministering and warring angels into here. Hello? If you feel a little slap once in a while, that's just that ministering spirit slapping that deaf and dumb spirit that he saw get on you. And that spirit of stupid. Oh! You know, and that's what the deaf and dumb spirit tries to do, doesn't he? He tries to get you swaying everywhere else. People are looking, counting how many holes are in the ceiling. All of a sudden, oh, yeah, yeah, take notes. Okay. Yeah. It's because you got a left hook from a ministering spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Are you all right? Praise God. Go to 1 Kings. Oh, no, we ain't going there. Let's go to Daniel. I like Daniel. Daniel 3. Oh, we got a few of them in Daniel. Cool. Oh, hallelujah. All right. Praise God. Are you there? Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. In verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. Hello? Who what? Trusted in him. You want them to work on your behalf? You got to have trust. Faith must be activated. Who what now? Trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's word and yield their bodies that they should what? Not serve nor worship any god except their own god. Wow. Therefore, I make a decree, because what happened? They were put in the fire, weren't they? And the angel of the Lord was in the fire protecting them from cooking. And they came out. They didn't even smell. There was no smoke or anything. They were not charcoaled or anything. In fact, they told them to turn up the ovens, what, 7 times more or something like that? I don't know. And the ones that were turning up were ones that cooked. They cooked, but the other ones didn't cook. Amen? Why? Because they were protected by the angel of the Lord. But they're the ones that trusted him. See, they even made confession, didn't they? That they trusted in the Lord. Moves the angels of God on your behalf. That's what you need to do is say, oh man, I don't know what. They're standing there going, come on, man, when you say something right, get your eyes off yourself, quit speaking all this negative garbage so I can move on your behalf. Hallelujah. He was in the midst of them, wasn't he? Praise God. Go to Daniel 10. Verse 10. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. And he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you what? Set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God. Your what? Words or your prayers were heard. Wow. See, the moment that you set your heart to understand and you humble yourself before God, you begin to pray and your words are heard. And the angels of the Lord are moving on your prayers. Right then. Instantly. Bam. Because this is what happened to him. Right? The angel of the Lord came to him. And he said to me, "And I've come because of your what? Your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, in other words, the principality of Persia, was hindering the answer. The angel of the Lord coming. But the prince kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and beheld Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. So he's saying the principalities of darkness were preventing the messenger of the Lord to bring the message in return in response to the prayers. Are you with me? So why not bind the principalities and powers of darkness coming against the angels working on your behalf? You might hear something a little bit quicker than 21 days. Are you with me? Glory to God. Go to Acts 5. Acts chapter 5. Oh, hallelujah. Acts chapter 5. Are you with me? In verse 19. Let's go to 17. Then the high priest rose up, all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation, and they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in a common prison. But at night an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. So what happened was the angel of the Lord came and what? Opened the prison door. They opened it. Only God, that's what Paul said, that he prayed that God would open doors where he can go preach the gospel. They had opened doors. Here they were in jail, and the angel of the Lord came and got them out. Amen? Go to Acts 12. Why? Because once they got saved, they had a legion of angels working on their behalf, didn't they? Oh, hallelujah. Acts 12, 7. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly, and his chains fell off of his hands. I'm telling you what, man, when you're walking right with God, no devil in hell can hold you back. You not only have dominion, but you have power, and you have authority, and the angels of the Lord are working on your behalf. They are there with you. Always. Go to Luke 16. Luke 16. These are ministering spirits, warring angels, messengers of God. I'm not going into big, heavy-duty teaching of angels. I just want you to understand and begin to realize and look on the other side. Because you're not alone. Amen? You're not alone. In Luke 16, is everybody there? In verse 22. Then he said to the disciples, the days will come when you will desire to see. Oh, it's 17. Hold on. Luke 16, 22. So it was. Oh, this is good. Let's start at 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously, thank you, every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was when the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, the rich man also died and was buried. Now, I want you to understand this. So when the beggar died and was carried by the what? Angels to Abraham's bosom. Guess what happens if you're serving the devil when you die? The demons come and take you to hell. Are you with me? See, the angels take you to heaven, the demons take you to hell. Hello? And being in torments in Hades, hell, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. That was paradise at that time. But we're not going there. Hebrews 13. And then one more scripture. I got a lot more, but this is enough. I think you got it. If you didn't, you will. Hebrews 13. Is everybody okay? You know, I really just believe that the Lord wants you to understand who you are. See, there's also called the Book of Remembrance, where the angels are recording everything you do. It's not forgotten. Everything is being recorded. Your every day, everything that goes on. You're on candid camera. Nobody laughed. Oh, God, no. Yeah, you're recorded. And see, you thought they were watching you. They were. Hebrews 13:2. Do not forget to what? Entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Are you with me? Yeah. In Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2. And verse 5. For he's not put the world to come of which we speak in subjection to angels. But one testified in a certain place saying, what is man that you are mindful of him? You know, even the angels look at us and go, man, I don't understand why. What's so good about these people? Or the son of man that you take care of him. In other words, the angels are taking care of us. You have made him a little lower than angels. We're made it a little bit lower than angels, you know that? You have crowned him with glory and honor. Set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. Wow, that's us. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it is written, or for it is fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren, and in the midst of the assembly I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. And that's Jesus saying that. Amen? So listen, you're not alone. There are angels working on your behalf. But you, through your prayers, is how they get dispatched. They are ready to go on your behalf. They're ready to go. But you ask the Lord, Lord, I ask you to dispatch your angels. Remember, the angels moved just when Daniel set his heart to understanding and humbled himself, didn't he? Things come into pass and work. I know that many of us have prayed for certain things and all of a sudden it shows up or it happens. Well, it doesn't happen by magic, because there's no such thing. It happens by an angel of the Lord going out and making things happen on your behalf. Amen. They are ministering angels. So when you're struggling, you ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, I need some ministering angels to help me. I need some protection. Lord, I'm asking for your help. He will not deny you. Do you understand? The problem is people ask for help and leave before help comes. They work it on their own strength before the help is manifested. People go out and buy cars, go out and buy houses, and do all kinds of stuff instead of waiting on God to bring it. And then they get themselves in debt and in trouble, whether it be relationships or whatever. Money spent foolishly and so forth. Those who wait upon the Lord, those who wait upon the Lord. You can't figure everything out, and you're not supposed to. What you're supposed to do is trust everything. Amen? You're supposed to trust him. Again, you didn't come here just because you made the choice to. You came here because the angels dragged you here. But you cooperated, didn't you? Amen? You cooperated with the Spirit of grace. But they know everything that's going on. Amen? They know it all. There isn't anything hidden. You are somebody. They're working on your behalf. Let's assist them on our behalf also. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed, and we thank you for the ministering and warring angels. We thank you for the messengers of the Lord. We thank you for the angels of the Lord that encamp around us and working on our behalf. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, and we thank you, angels, for putting up with us. We thank you. And we ask you to continue to minister to us. We ask you to continue to guide us and open the doors that are of you and shut the doors that are not. Lord, continue to open our eyes to see and our ears to hear and our heart to receive. And camping the angel of revelation around us that we may get revelation. Putting a hedge of protection around us while we sleep that we may have dreams and visions of you and your perfect will. Lord, we commit to you all things. We release everything to you. We sever ourselves from every entanglement and from every affair of this world, that we may walk in the true spirit of life in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.